Let's continue reading verses 9 through 15 of Haggai chapter 1. Now in the second half of the chapter, we have the good results of Haggai's first sermon to the people of Judah. Remember, they had stopped rebuilding the temple, but as a result of Haggai's sermon, the people straightened out their priorities, and once again, they started rebuilding the house of the Lord. Haggai chapter 1, beginning now at verse 9. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, spoke the Lord's message to the people, saying, I am with you, says the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Once again, let's begin with some background notes. When we compare the dates given in the last verse of this chapter and the first verse of the chapter, we see that 23 days have gone by since Haggai gave his challenging sermon to rebuild the temple of the Lord. By the way, the Darius mentioned in these verses is not the Darius of the book of Daniel. That was Darius the Mede. This is Darius the First of Persia, who began his reign in 522 BC. Haggai's sermons were given in the year 520 BC. When the Jewish people returned from captivity, they began rebuilding their temple that had been destroyed by the Babylonians. But they became discouraged and lethargic and had a change of heart and a change of priorities. And they began spending their time and efforts on their own houses instead. Meanwhile, the temple, the house of the Lord, was in ruins and God was displeased. It took the motivating ministries of post-exilic prophets Haggai and Zechariah to get the people to start rebuilding again. I'm reading Ezra chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. So Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, or Jehozadak, rose up and began to build the house of God which is in Jerusalem, and the prophets of God were with them, helping them. So here in the second half of Haggai chapter 1, we see that it was 23 days after Haggai's first sermon that the rebuilding started. 4 years later, the rebuilt temple was complete. You can see that in Ezra chapter 6, verses 14 through 16. This rebuilt temple then was the second Jewish temple. This is the temple that Herod the Great expanded and beautified around the time of Christ. Thus, Herod's temple is still considered the second temple, not the third temple, by the Jewish people. This second temple was destroyed in 70 AD by the Romans. The Wailing Wall in Jerusalem today is the western wall of the temple platform of this temple. Not one stone upon another remains of the temple itself, as our Lord predicted, but part of the stone platform on which the temple stood still remains. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for this second half of Haggai chapter 1. Doctrinal point number one, wrong priorities result in loss of blessing. Wrong priorities result in loss of blessing. Verses 9 through 11, one more time. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I call for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Notice how descriptive verse 9 is. You looked for much, but indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. The little the people brought home from the harvest, the Lord blew it away. Something doesn't last long if the Lord decides to blow it away. You may have the most secure investments, but if the Lord decides to blow it away, I'm so sorry, it's gone. And he may do just that to teach you a few lessons if your priorities are wrong. In the Middle East, the dew is very important for the productivity of the land. But verse 10 says that God withheld the dew. Look at verse 10 again. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. The three basic crops in Israel were grain, grapes, and olive oil. Notice from verse 11 how God called for a drought on all three. In fact, we see that God purposely withheld progress and blessing from every area where the people were trying to get ahead. Verse 11. For I call for a drought on the land and the mountains, on the grain and the new wine and the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. Why would God do this? Verse 9 gives the answer. Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Wrong priorities result in loss of blessing. Now, it's not that God didn't warn the people in advance. This was all part of God's covenant with the people. The law said if the people made God number one, then he would bless them. But if they demoted God to a lower priority, then he would not bless them. Listen to what the Lord said would be the result of reverse priorities. I'm reading Leviticus 26, verses 19 and 20. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. And also Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 38 through 40. You shall carry much seed out to the field, but gather little in, for the locust shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and tend them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olives shall drop off. And it happened. So, you see, God did warn the people. It wasn't like he didn't send them some advance warning. It was part of his covenant with them. Does this doctrinal point still hold today? Wrong priorities result in loss of blessing. Yes, it does. But with this difference, material blessings are not guaranteed for the Christian. In the Old Testament, God promised material and spiritual blessings if his people had right priorities, and loss of material and spiritual blessings if the people had wrong priorities. Now, in the New Testament, for the Christian now, in the New Testament, we find that all promised blessings are spiritual blessings. God may give us material blessings as well, but they are not guaranteed. In fact, just because a Christian has material possessions and everything is prospering and going well does not necessarily mean a Christian's priorities are right. God may allow even a carnal Christian to prosper materially. But one thing is sure, the worldly Christian will not be blessed spiritually. There are no exceptions. I mean, the blessings are there, but he will not be enjoying and appropriating these spiritual blessings. God will not and cannot bless you if your priorities are backwards. Wrong priorities result in loss of blessing. Let me ask you this morning, do you want the Lord's blessing on your life and home? Do you want the fruit of the Spirit to be seen in your life? Do you want to enjoy the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ? Then straighten out your priorities. And put the Lord first in big decisions and small decisions, because wrong priorities result in loss of blessing. Doctrinal point number two, Right priorities result in lots of blessing. Right priorities result in lots of blessing. Verse 12. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the presence of the Lord. And verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came and worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. You know, this is one of the greatest events in the Bible, as any preacher of God's word will tell you. The people not only listened to Haggai's sermon, they acted on it. You know, there's nothing more discouraging to a preacher of God's word than to have people shake your hand and say, nice sermon, but then do nothing about it. Believe me, I know the experience. But on the other hand, there's nothing more encouraging and lifting than to see people moved by your sermon, moved to the point of action. Now here we see a very rare response to a sermon, that people have a complete change of heart. They totally reverse their priorities and they start rebuilding the temple. For this obedience and change of priorities, the Lord begins to bless the people once again with material blessings, as we'll see in chapter 2. But one of the greatest blessings is the spiritual blessing that we see here in verse 13. I am with you, says the Lord. Can you think of any greater spiritual blessing? This blessing is available to every believer today. The Lord Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, Hebrews 13:5. Let me ask you, do you know the intimate presence of the Lord in your life, not just in salvation, but in day-to-day living? You can, if you set your priorities straight. That's what God's word is teaching us here. Don't expect to know the blessing of the close presence of the Lord in your life if you only call on the Lord when you're sick or out of a job or in trouble. Set your priorities straight and you will know the great blessing of the Lord's presence in your life like you've never known it before. In fact, you will experience all kinds of spiritual blessing because right priorities result in lots of blessing. Now, what about practical application? Will this minor prophet affect your major priorities? Will this minor prophet affect your major priorities? We all have our major priorities, right? Are they in line with the Word of God? Now, I know the book of Haggai has affected my priorities. See, I have to go through the book of Haggai every year because I teach Old Testament surveys. So the Lord hits me every time I go through this book about priorities. And it has affected my priorities. What about yours? If you're a believer, you will meet Haggai in heaven. Suppose he asks you whether or not you read his book. Well, you'll be able to say yes because you're here for this series on Haggai. But suppose he asks you whether his book has affected your life. Good question. Will this minor prophet affect your major priorities?